Okay, the reading this morning is from John 13 and verses 1 to 17, and I'm reading from the NIV. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave the world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. That evening, the meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around them. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Then Lord Simon Peter replied, "Not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet, with the whole their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew he was going to be betrayed, and that was why he said not every one was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Amen.
Thank you, Paul, for reading that for us. I realise I should have introduced myself properly earlier. For anyone who doesn't know me, I'm Charlie. I'm the youth pastor at Kennet Valley Free Church. I've been there for about 10 years now. My wife, Claudia, and I, we live not far from the church in Calcott. And I realised last time I was here with you, I stood and said that we had a one-year-old Cocker Spaniel. He's now two, and we've got a one-year-old daughter called Lydia. I think my wife was expecting when I was here with you last time. So she's an absolute joy. So it's been a good and exciting year for us. Feel free to keep that passage open if you have a Bible. John 13, we'll be going through that together. But just to start with, I wonder what it is that makes you stop and say, "Wow." What takes your breath away? Maybe it's the colours in the trees. Maybe it's standing under a sky full of stars. Maybe it was the eclipse a few weeks ago. I don't know if anyone saw the eclipse, went outside to get your glasses on for that one. But there are those things, aren't there, that just make us stop, that take our breath away, and we just have to go, "Wow." And I think that that's how the disciples would have felt when Jesus did what he did in our story today. He knelt down, he washed their feet. Maybe they would have been a little bit confused. Why is Jesus the one who's doing this? But I think there certainly would have been a feeling of, "Wow, look at Jesus. Look at what he's doing for us." Because this story gives us such a wonderful picture of who Jesus is, the servant king. And so as we look at this passage together, hopefully we will see Jesus more clearly, and hopefully we too will go, "Wow, look at Jesus," that we might be spurred on to worship him and to live for him. So let's just take a moment to pray again. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this wonderful passage that we've just read. And Father, we pray as we spend some time thinking about it now that you would speak to us, that you would give us hearts full of praise, and that, Father, you would use this passage to help us see Jesus more clearly and to draw us close to him and equip us to live for him. And we pray that in his mighty name. Amen. Colossians chapter 1 verse 15 tells us that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. So if we want to know what God is like, we look at Jesus. And we look at this passage and we see so clearly the character of Christ. And through that we get a greater understanding of who God is. And so as we consider these verses, we're just going to focus on two things, two points. And the first thing that we see and that we're going to focus on is that we have a servant king to worship. And the second thing is that we have a servant life to follow. So firstly, a servant king to worship. John here is writing about the final day before Jesus dies on the cross. And we're told that Jesus knows what's coming. He knew the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. And he's been telling his disciples that the Son of Man would be handed over and would be put to death. And that time has finally come. And John, as he writes, he reflects on how Jesus had so perfectly loved his people throughout his life. Jesus loves the whole world, of course he does. But John seems to be talking of a unique love here, the unique love that he has for his people. And we see that displayed in this most beautiful act of service towards them. Foot washing would have been something the disciples would have been used to. It was walking around in sandals on dusty roads. Those feet would have got pretty dirty. But washing feet, that was a job of a servant. That was something that a servant would do. And yet here we have Jesus, the almighty, eternal Son of God, kneeling down and washing their feet. But in doing this, Jesus is showing exactly why he came to the earth. He came to serve. Mark chapter 10, verse 45 says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." People had been waiting for the Messiah to come, and they may have foreseen a mighty ruler who would just come and do away with the Romans once and for all. And yes, absolutely, Jesus is powerful, but although he was the all-powerful Son of God, he came to the earth in humility and service. In fact, it's actually because he is the all-powerful Son of God. It's not in spite of that fact, it's because of that fact that he came to serve. Because there's one word that I think is a really important word for us as we read the passage. And I think it's one that we could so easily miss out because it's not a long word. The word is so. If you look at verse 3 with me, if you've got a Bible, this is what it says. It says, "Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist, and he washed the disciples' feet." Jesus is the all-powerful Son of God. God has put all things under his power. He's come from the glory of heaven. He's returning to the glory of heaven. So he serves. It doesn't say Jesus knew that he had all things under his power, but in spite of that, he serves. It's because of this position of authority that Jesus had, that he chooses to use it and to serve. Which is so contradictory and so countercultural to the view of the world of so many people that actually to be in a position of authority means that you've simply earned the right to be served by others. You can put yourself on a pedestal and just allow others to do things for you, but Jesus flips that on its head completely. Jesus ranks higher than any other, and yet he uses that position to go low and to humble himself. It's because of his power that he serves. But just imagine you were there. Imagine you were one of those disciples or one of the onlookers. How would we feel seeing Jesus humble himself in this way? We read how one of the disciples responds. We read how Peter responds. Peter thinks it doesn't seem right that Jesus should be doing this for him. We don't know exactly how Peter would have said these words, but I think it would sound something like this: Lord, are you going to wash my feet? I think he would be confused that maybe it should be the other way around. But Jesus replies, you don't understand what I'm doing, but someday you will. And he goes on to say, unless I wash you, you won't belong to me. Perhaps Peter didn't feel worthy. Perhaps he just didn't understand what Jesus was doing. But with Jesus' words here, he's showing, firstly, that he came to serve. And he's also showing that he came to make us clean. He came to cleanse. Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me. And then he goes on to say, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. And so for us, we, with the hindsight of what Jesus did at the cross, we can look at these words and see the fulfillment of them, as we know that it is ultimately by the blood of Jesus shed at the cross that we can be cleansed. 1 John 1 verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Cleansed from guilt and cleansed from sin, white as snow and pure within, as we would sing in that wonderful hymn. And so perhaps foot washing here seems to represent something else as well, other than just Jesus' service. It seems to represent something of the need for us to come to God to be made clean. When we come to Christ, the Bible is very clear, when we come to Christ, we are made clean. That has happened. The blood of Christ has washed us. But actually, there is a need for ongoing cleansing as we come and confess our sin. Heather helpfully prayed for forgiveness earlier, and that's what we're doing. We're coming, and it's like we're having spiritual foot washings from the Lord as we come and as we bring our confessions before him. As 1 John chapter 1 goes on to say a couple of verses later, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Even though we have been made clean, there are still sins that need confession and forgiveness. And so we can come to Jesus, allowing him to serve us again and allowing him to make us clean. And actually, as we do that, our confession will lead to praise. As we bring our sin, we're reminded again of God's grace and mercy towards us, and that will lead us to praise him all the more for what he's done. So actually, when we keep from confessing our sin, we are denying ourselves the opportunity to have more reason to praise him. Confession gives us more reason to praise the Lord. What an astonishing thing that Christ is willing and wants to serve us and make us clean. But this is Jesus. This is who he is. This is his character. He's got all the power in the world, and he chooses to humble himself and take the role of a servant. Another astonishing thing about this passage is to think of those whose feet Jesus is washing. Just before Jesus washes their feet, we're told in verse 2, the devil had already prompted Judas to betray Jesus. And then later on in verses that we didn't read, 18 to 30, we hear in more detail Jesus revealing that Judas is going to turn against him. And at the end of the chapter, we hear Jesus telling Peter that he's going to deny him. In fact, he tells all the disciples that they're all going to fall away. And so what would our natural human reaction be if we know someone's going to betray us, if we know someone's going to wrong us in some way? Perhaps we'd give them the silent treatment. Perhaps we'd make a few snide comments. But what does Jesus do? He's sitting down and eating with his friends, knowing that they're going to turn against him, that one will actively deny him, that one will actively betray him. And he takes a towel, he takes some water, and he washes their feet. The next place that Judas's feet go after this is to betray Jesus. And Jesus washes those feet. This is our loving and gracious Saviour. In this story, we see one of the greatest acts of love, kindness, and service in the whole of Scripture. In fact, I think I would go so far as to say it's only surpassed by one, and that is Christ on the cross. Jesus on the cross, which is the ultimate act of service, of him putting others above himself, putting their needs first, giving his life as a ransom for many. Jesus knows the pain ahead. He knows exactly what's coming. And he prays to the Father in the garden. He says, if there is another way, take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, what you will. He's obedient to the Father. He's obedient to his will. And in humility and obedience, he chooses to serve by taking the punishment that we, the world, deserve for our sin. His death is the ultimate act of service where we see the love and humility of God completely on display. We are not worthy, we've not earned it, but Jesus has made himself vulnerable to the point of death for us. God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We have a God who has served us because that's who he is. That's his character. Jesus washing his friend's feet shows us that, and Jesus' death on the cross shows that in all of its fullness. And so if you're here this morning and you're not sure what you think of Jesus, maybe you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, or you just don't know who Jesus is, then hear this and see exactly the sort of saviour that Jesus is. This is who you are missing out on. A saviour who in humility laid down the glory of heaven as he came to earth. Who laid down his outer clothing as he washed his friend's feet. And who laid down his life as he died on the cross. So that when we turn to him, when we come to Christ, we turn away from sin, we confess it to him, we can know salvation, forgiveness and joy that comes from Jesus making us clean. This is the servant king that we worship. This is Jesus. And the second thing that we are given in this passage is we're given a servant life to follow. Our response to Jesus serving us is to serve him in return, and the outworking of that is also to serve those around us. Jesus has given us the example, as he says, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Now, for us, that doesn't necessarily mean washing each other's feet. Maybe it will in some times. But what Jesus is saying here is, I have shown you how to serve. I've shown you what serving looks like. Now go and do the same. Go and serve. Go and put the needs of others above your own needs. Foot washing is a picture of the principle of humble service of others. Jesus is essentially saying, I'm going away, and you are now going to be my representatives, my hands and feet, to take my words and my example into the world around you. Which is the same as what Paul said in that passage from Philippians that we read earlier. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Jesus is calling us to be those who naturally serve others. And that will look different for each of us. God will use us in different ways because he's given us different gifts and put us in different places. But we can serve our parents, we can serve our children, our grandchildren, our partners, our neighbours, our work colleagues, our church. Wherever God puts us, that is an opportunity for us to serve. Perhaps in practical ways, perhaps through hospitality, perhaps through sharing what we have, our time, our gifts, perhaps by giving a listening ear to someone, perhaps by being an encourager and encouraging someone. We can certainly serve by praying. Praying is one of the key ways that we serve, bringing others to the Lord in prayer. But wherever the Lord has put us, he calls us to follow his example in service. At the end of the passage, we hear Jesus say this: "Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Blessed, meaning glad or full of joy. Jesus is saying, if you follow my example, you will be full of joy because you will find that the deeper joys in life don't come from people putting you on a pedestal, but they come from when you are helping those who are in need in the way that you serve. That is where joy comes from, Jesus says. 1 John 4, verse 11. "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." And then verse 19. "We love because he first loved us." And we serve because Jesus has first served us. He has given the perfect example for us to follow. Now, serving isn't easy. It's not easy for us to put the needs of others above the needs of ourselves. And we will certainly get it wrong. We'll certainly not take opportunities that are there for us. But God is gracious. And wonderfully, he doesn't just teach us how to serve. He doesn't just show us how to serve. But Jesus helps us to serve. When we come to Christ, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit empowers us, equips us. So Jesus teaches, he shows, and he equips. He equips us to live for his glory. This is what Matthew 5, verse 16 says: "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." As we reflect Christ to those around us through our service, we don't do it for our own glory. We don't do it so that people think much of us. We do it so that all the glory might go to Jesus, so that people might think more of him. So what does washing feet look like for you? What does it look like for you this week, today, tomorrow, in the month ahead? What does foot washing look like? How will you serve in the places that God has put you? How will you take that incredible example that Christ has given us? This passage gives us so much reason to worship. As we look at the person of Jesus, who he is, and as he gives us the example to follow. And the promise that we have from God's word is that when we give ourselves to service, we follow the pattern of Christ, and so what is true of Christ becomes true of us. Matthew 23, verse 12 says, "The greatest among you will be your servant, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." We know that this is true of us because it's true of Jesus. Jesus, who came from the glory of heaven, who humbled himself, even to the point of death, yet was lifted up, raised and exalted high. And that is where he is today. And when we are trusting in Jesus and following in his steps, then so are we. We have that promise that as we humble ourselves in service to the Lord, in service to others, as we do that here on earth, Jesus is going to take us to be with him, to that place of honour. What a glorious day that will be. We've read these words from Philippians 2 already, but let me close just by reading them again before we pray. This time it's from the NIV. "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that in this story we see your character displayed so clearly. Thank you, Jesus, that you came not to be served, but to serve. And thank you that you have served us to the point of death, taking the punishment that we deserve. And Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are raised to life. You are exalted to the highest place. And so, Lord Jesus, we give you praise today, and we pray that you would help us by your Holy Spirit to follow in your footsteps, to take the example that you have given to us, to be humble, to serve, so that we might point others to you, and so that your name would be lifted high and glorified. Lord Jesus, we pray all these things in your precious name. Amen.